Let me ask you a question this morning. The title of my message today is The Gift of Joy, but what makes you happy today? What makes you happy? We oftentimes associate joy with happiness. Listen to this list of the things that housewives are most thankful for. Maybe it's around the holiday season, but these are things that housewives are oftentimes most thankful for. Housewives are thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for the after-dinner snacks. Aren't you thankful for those kinds of things? Housewives are also thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to be able to call in the professionals. Housewives are thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, they hate to see them go home to their own parents afterwards. Housewives are thankful for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And then housewives are thankful for smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey's done for Thanksgiving dinner. Happiness, have you ever heard this said before? Happiness depends on your happenings. Have you heard that before? Happiness depends on your happenings. The other part of that from a Christian perspective, though, is joy depends on Christ. And that's what we want to look at this morning. It's not so much on trying to find happiness, because that is an elusive goal that nobody will be able to really reach in their life. But joy is something that everybody can experience and can know, no matter what the circumstances of life are. How can a person be filled with joy this Christmas season? Well, I believe the answer is in this passage that Brother Jack just read for us from Luke chapter 2, that very familiar Christmas story. And I think that oftentimes what we end up doing is we focus in on those shepherds, and we like to look at the personalities of the shepherds and of the angels and all of the things that were going on with that. And what a wonderful scene it must have been. But let's not miss the importance of the message that those angels delivered to the shepherds that day. So I want to focus on the attention. I want to focus our attention on that message. First of all, what the message was, what the message meant, and then what we're supposed to do with the message that the angels gave that day. What the message was, what it meant, and what we're supposed to do with that message. The angels came to the shepherds that day, and the message that they delivered was a gospel. And you say, well, that's a no-brainer, Pastor. It's in Luke's gospel, so it makes sense that this is a gospel. Well, let's not miss something here that is important about this whole idea of what it was that the shepherds received that day from the angels. This is a message that God is giving to those shepherds through angels of God's redemptive plan for mankind and how he was going to deliver mankind ultimately through the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it says that the angels announced to the shepherds, they said, I bring you good news. Now, you've probably heard this before, that term good news is the same as the word gospel. As a matter of fact, when I was a child, there was a little song that we used to sing about, that went along something like that good news, and it also had in it that it meant the gospel. And that's really what the gospel means. It means good news. And so when these shepherds were coming, when these angels were coming, they were saying, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. They were declaring a gospel. Now, we oftentimes think that that term gospel only originated when the authors of the New Testament penned Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that somehow that was the name that was ascribed to those four books that start the New Testament, and that's all that a gospel is. There can't be anything other than those four books of the New Testament that are a gospel, but that's not true. I would argue with you this morning that that term gospel was a genre identification of a particular kind of literature, a particular kind of spoken communication that was used long before these books were written, long before the birth of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it was something that would have been used to make a proclamation to people when there was some kind of a life-changing event that had happened in society that was supposed to bring a blessing, that was supposed to be good for the people. Usually it happened when there was some kind of a military triumph that the general would send back to his city or to his country and say, send the gospel proclamation, send the good news that we've defeated our enemy. Or it would happen when there was a new king, a new ruler who came to power. For example, Caesar Augustus, we'll use him as an example because we have historical records about his gospel announcement. That when he became the emperor over the Roman Empire, there was a gospel pronouncement that he sent out throughout all of the entire Roman Empire. So there were guys on horseback, there were messengers that were carrying this script with them, and they would come into a town that was in the Roman Empire, and they would open up and they would say, I have a gospel proclamation for you today that Caesar Augustus is now your emperor. And this is supposed to be a good thing, although Caesar wasn't that great of a guy. Augustus wasn't that great of a guy, but he wanted everybody to think that he was a great guy, and so he sent out this gospel proclamation. So when the angels came and communicated about the advent of Jesus Christ, they could have used other terms. They could have said that, here's some illumination for you today, that there has been a Savior born. They didn't use illumination. They could have said something like, here's some instruction for you, or some teaching. They could have said, here's some wisdom for you, that God has sent his son Jesus into the world. But they chose specifically this word gospel, good news, because God wanted us to know that there was a life-changing event that was happening in the birth of Jesus Christ that was going to bring blessing to all the people who would hear it and would know about it. Like Luke, the human author, who was directed by the Holy Spirit, recorded this piece of information. It's interesting that it comes in contrast with who Caesar Augustus himself was, who you hear about him and you read about him in the gospel narrative. He was not a great guy. He actually had no conscience. See, most Roman rulers were cruel men who did unkind things to the people in their kingdom, and they exploited them for their own personal gain. And they didn't care if the people who were in their kingdom lived in poverty and lived in dysfunction and had no opportunity for justice and were overtaxed. But here this gospel announcement comes from God, from these angels saying, I give to you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then what does the message say? A Savior has been born. A Savior who's going to come into this world, who's going to face all of those oppositions that you face, even from the Roman Empire. The things of oppression, the things that are going to cause problems in your life, Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from those. While we live in a country that is free, we don't face the oppressions that the Israelites did in the first century AD of being occupied by another country. You know, the United States is really the greatest country in the world, and the freedoms that we have here. There's no other country in the world that gives to us the things that we enjoy in this country. And while we may not think that there are people, it may not appear in the geopolitical system anyways, that there are people who are living under oppression here in the United States, there are. There are people who are living under oppression in all kinds of ways in their life, because while we do have a president and we have a Congress and we have a Senate and we have state government and so on down through the different levels of government, there is one who rules this world that we don't very often talk about, and his name is Satan. The Bible describes him as the prince of the power of the air, and he rules over this world, and he is a cruel ruler. He wants to bring the people who are in his kingdom under bondage, emotional bondage, relational bondage, financial bondage, sin bondage, dysfunctional bondage, all of those kinds of things he wants to bring us into that bondage. The message of the gospel this morning, the message that the angels brought that day is that there is good news. There is a life-changing event that has happened, not only for these shepherds, not only for Mary and Joseph, not only for the people in Jerusalem in the first century AD, but for all the peoples of the world of all times, which includes you and I, that Jesus Christ has come. For some people today, that oppression comes in different forms. For some people in our society, and perhaps even people in church today, there are addictions to substances that cause all kinds of problems in our life, not only into our bodies, but also into our relationships. For some people, those oppressions come in the forms of overcommitment to work. The rush that comes from being needed to accomplish specific tasks, it can be an intoxicating thing that can cause us to be oppressed. There are some people who live in what we call unhealthy codependencies of relationships, meaning that they have a relationship with somebody else, that they are depending upon that person in an unhealthy way. And the end result of it puts them into oppression, but it also puts the other people into oppression if they allow it to happen. Still others live in captivity to their anger over past hurts. And in an attempt to oppress those hurt feelings, they end up holding themselves in captivity to them. The sad reality of these nice packages of joy that people try to hang on to is Satan uses all of them to bring oppression into our lives. One of America's best-known poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, contributed to the wealth of carols that we sing in the Christmas season. In the midst of, he composed the words to the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," and he wrote that on December the 25th, 1864. So you know what was going on in our country in 1864, don't you? We were at war. The Civil War had been raging for 3 long years, but that was not the only war that was going on in his life. His wife had just died. And he was feeling that sense of oppression because of the war and because of the disparity that had come into his life. But he found joy on December the 25th in 1864, and he wrote these words. Listen to them as I read them. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Imagine writing that in the midst of the Civil War. He goes on, he says, "I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and then in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, good will to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, good will to men." Amazing when you think that he wrote that in the midst of those circumstances of oppression. Do you have that feeling of being under a load of oppression today? Whatever case that may come, whatever package that oppression may come into for you today, I have good news for you. Just like those angels came with that proclamation to the shepherds, good news of great joy. A Savior has been born who can deliver you from that oppression and that bondage. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to do. Will you receive that gift today? That's the message that the angels gave. Will you receive that gift of Christmas joy that only can come in our response to Jesus Christ? Let's think briefly what that message meant. It was good news. What exactly does that mean? Well, let me break down word by word this verse. To all people, this joy that Jesus brings to us is available to everybody, regardless of our age, our sex, our class, our intelligence, whatever the case may be, it is available to everybody. In the town of David, it says, David was that great king from the Old Testament who ruled over Israel like no other king did. And this Messiah that would be born, Jesus Christ, was going to come and he was going to be a king like David, only better. And he will rule in your life and bring to you all of the things that a good ruler will bring to your life. He is the Savior, and Christmas must always be understood in the light of Easter, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and was born as a baby, but he went to the cross of Calvary that our sins might be forgiven. And there he died in your place and in my place. And it's only when we confess our sins to Jesus and we ask him to take those sins away that we can be free from the bondage of this world. A Savior, Christ is his name. He's the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who can meet every single need of the human heart for time and for eternity. He is the Lord who wants to rule over your life. And then lastly, the angels said to these shepherds, and you're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It'd be the last place that most people would look to go to find a king, to find a ruler, to find a Savior, somebody who's going to deliver the world. Just ask the wise men. They went to Jerusalem looking for a king. They didn't think of going to Bethlehem and looking in a manger. Why was it that Jesus came into this world as a baby? Well, let me give you this idea. I don't know if you've held a baby lately. I'm in the grandparent stage now, so I hold babies a lot, and I really enjoy it. A baby, I believe, is the reason why Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby is because God wanted to bring that message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world in a way that anybody could accept it. Who wouldn't accept a baby? Who would ever feel threatened by a baby? The sign that Jesus was wrapped in a cloth, lying in a manger, was a sign of how God offered redemption to mankind. He doesn't come in busting the doors down of our life, but he comes in offering this to you freely of your own choice to be able to accept Christ into your life. There's nothing that is more unassuming in life than a baby. What can they do to you? Well, they can keep you up at night, but that's probably the worst thing, right? God wants people throughout the ages to know that God comes to meet you where you're at. And that's why he came as a baby. Can you see that message of the angels that day to the shepherds was not only meant just for them, but it was meant for us as well. That Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of everybody. And true joy comes into our life through the deliverance of Christ when we receive that baby into our life and accept him. Which leads us to our last thought this morning. What should we do with that message? We've looked at what the message was. We've looked at what the message meant. But what do we do with that message? Well, those shepherds that day, what did they do? In verse 15, it says that the angels left and they'd gone back into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And then verse 16 says they went off and they found Joseph and Mary. And they went there and they did what? They worshiped him. They went and they received Jesus into their life. We might ask ourselves, what does that look like for us today? I mean, we're not shepherds. We're not on that hillside. We can't actually go to Bethlehem. We can't actually go and see Jesus lying in a manger. But what does that look like for us? What do we do with that message that the angels gave to the shepherds that day and gave to us? What is it that we do with that? How is it that we go to Jesus? In her book, Decision, Joni Erickson Tada writes about a question that she was asked one day and the very honest answer that she gave to it. I invite you to listen to Johnny as she articulates how she experienced joy in her life and what it means for her to come and to meet with Jesus to respond to this message. "Honesty is always the best policy, but especially when you're surrounded by a crowd of women in a restroom during a break at a Christian women's conference. One woman, putting lipstick on, said, 'Oh, Joni, you always look so together, so happy in your wheelchair. I wish that I had your joy.' Several women around her nodded. 'How do you do it?' she asked as she kept her lipstick back on. 'I don't do it,' Joni said. 'In fact, may I tell you honestly how I woke up this morning? This is an average day. I breathe deeply. After my husband Ken leaves for work at 6 a.m., I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7 a.m. That's when a friend arrives to get me up. While I listen to her make coffee, I pray, 'Oh Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath, get me dressed, sit me up in my chair, brush my hair and teeth, and send me out the door. I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take in the day, but you do. May I have yours. God, I need you desperately.' So what happens when your friend comes through the bedroom door?" one of them asked. "I turn my head toward her, and I give her a smile sent straight from heaven. It's not mine, it's God's. So I said, gesturing to my paralyzed legs, 'Whatever joy you see today was hard won this morning. I have learned that the weaker we are, the more we need to lean on God, and the more we lean on God, the stronger we discover him to be.'" Johnny knew what it was to go every day to the manger to see Jesus Christ and to receive from him the freedom that he gives from the things that can cause bondage and captivity and oppression in our life. And by meeting with him and confessing that honestly to him, she was able to receive from him the strength to put on a smile. And as she put on that smile, she experienced what true heaven-sent joy was. And the good news about it is this Christmas, God wants you to have that same joy. Not a happiness that depends upon your happenings. Not a persona of joy so that you make it so, make everybody else around you believe that you've got your world together. No, an honesty that says that I don't want to put on a smile today and I don't want to be joyful, but God has allowed me to be so because I've met with Jesus today. You can have that same kind of joy in your life today when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. What's stealing your joy this Christmas? Are you controlled by expectations that you've either set on yourself or other people have set on you? That'll steal your joy. Are you controlled by unhealthy relationships that steal your joy? Are you living in codependency upon somebody else that just isn't a good thing for you to be doing? In your attempt to control your life, does it seem out of control and leave you with no joy? That will suck joy out of you faster than anything. And are you looking for so hard for happiness in this world that you're allowing your happenings to destroy the joy that only comes from the gift of Jesus Christ? Will you be like those shepherds? Or will you come to Jesus this Christmas? And will you say to him, Lord, I'm laying it all down before you today. I don't have it within me. I'm a failure in this, and I admit it before you, God. I need to have your strength to know joy, to know peace, to know happiness, and to be able to love and be loved by others. Lord, those are the things I want this Christmas. I can't do it on my own. Will you give it to me? Father in heaven, as your Spirit would speak to hearts this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would give to each of us the courage to recognize that which is deficient within us and that which holds us in bondage, those feeble attempts that we make in our own efforts to be able to find happiness and joy that always fail. Lord, help us to be like these shepherds, to be like Johnny, and to humbly come before you and confess our weaknesses. And therein gaining your strength, and as we gain your strength, may you impart to us the true joy that you intended us to have through this gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that hearts that you're dealing with right now, that you'll give them strength to be able to make that decision to embrace your Christmas joy even this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.